God's grace and his mercy and his peace are yours through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray he opens our hearts and minds as we hear his word for today. That word comes from our reading, of course, in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21, about the coming of the Holy Spirit to the disciples at Pentecost. So on the Leelanau Peninsula of Michigan, which is, you know, here, right, this edge of the pinky, kind of south and west of Glen Arbor on M109, overlooking beautiful Glen Lake, is the official entrance to Sleeping Bear Dunes National Lakeshore. It's part of what they call the dune climb. Several different trails go off from there, although it's kind of hard to mark trails when it's all sand. But it looks like this. Who has been here to this dune climb before? Many. Okay, who has climbed that hill or one like it? Who had to stop halfway up at least once? Not as many hands. I'm impressed. I stopped a few times. But we went when the kids were younger to this exact spot. That's not my picture, but that's what it looked like. If you see the people at the top, it's, for those of you who haven't been there, it's a big climb. And of course, when you take a step, you sink down about at least half of the distance of your step, and so you're kind of taking half steps all the way up. But I was told, and I didn't look on a map to confirm it, so shame on me, that once you got to the top, you would see Lake Michigan, like that. And so I thought, how beautiful, what a great payoff to make this climb. Get to the top, look to the east, there's Glen Lake, look to the west, Lake Michigan. All right, I'm up for that. That sounds like a victory moment, a mountaintop moment, I'm gonna do it. So the kids and I climbed, and the kids got there first, of course. And we climbed this whole hill, and we got to the top, and I looked to the east, and there was Glen Lake. Beautiful, nestled in the woods, just a beautiful view. And I turned to the west to look at Lake Michigan, but instead I saw this. Oh, another hill. Well, it must be just past the hill. So I walked past that hill through that little valley there, and I saw this again. And I saw another one of these again. And I finally stopped walking, and I asked someone who is coming the other way, hey, I heard Lake Michigan is over here somewhere. Oh yeah, it's a mile and a half. You're on the right track. I said, no, I'm not. I'm going back. And my kids and I were going to drive to Lake Michigan. So I didn't check my facts, and so that was my fault. But I also was unpleasantly surprised to see that after that one mountain, there was another and another. And thus the name of the sermon, Mountains Beyond Mountains, right? But it kind of ties into our lives too, doesn't it? In less important things and more important things, like you start to paint a room in your house and you see a water leak or some damage from a water leak, and so that turns into a plumbing project, which turns into a bathroom remodel, which turns into a, next thing you know, you've done the whole house, right? Or think about a more serious issue, caring for a loved one who's sick, and how that turns into problems with time and finances and proper care and where that person's going to live and what you'll do with the place that they used to live in and all those things that have to be climbed one after the other. You think there's one issue, but there's actually several problems that result from that. Mountains beyond mountains. Are you encouraged yet? It's a strange way to start a Pentecost sermon, but it does tie in because we're not just looking at what happened on Pentecost Sunday, we're looking at what happened after. Once the disciples received the Holy Spirit. So we heard that story that Pastor Gertner just read in Acts chapter 2. We know that they were waiting in a room for the promised Holy Spirit. They were praying together, anxious, ready to go, but just feeling unfinished because they really couldn't do anything until the Spirit arrived. And then there's a sound like a rushing wind. There's an earthquake. There's little things that look like tongues of fire that come and rest on the disciples' heads, which would really be useful today as well, wouldn't it, to have those? And it's this dramatic event. It's transformative. It's that moment when the disciples feel like, wow, this is it. This is our happy ending. We waited and waited with anxiousness, with fear, but now it's here. Now we have the permission and the ability because of the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel, and we're going to go out and do it. In fact, the last verse of Peter's Pentecost sermon kind of implies this happy ending. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That mountain is climbed, that mountain is conquered, and we are saved. Victory. But just when you think you've conquered something, just when you think you've climbed that sand dune to see Lake Michigan, there's another mountain to climb, another one in the way, right? And that was the story of the apostles as they went out into the world carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ in the days and weeks and months and years beyond our story today in Acts chapter 2. You can truthfully say as you read Scripture that the Holy Spirit caused many more problems than he solved. Now, had the disciples not been given the Great Commission by Jesus to go into all the world and baptize and share the good news, then it would have been fine. Then those disciples could have savored this truth as they grew to a ripe old age. They could have cherished the memories of Christ before and after his resurrection and the time that they had with him. But that was not to be. The Holy Spirit caused problems. He threw them out into the world, into those crowds at first that many had participated in the crucifixion of Christ, certainly seen it, known about it, and now here they are preaching this difficult truth. And yet, by the Holy Spirit's power, thousands come to faith in Jesus Christ. But there is a tremendous cost. Look at the way many of the disciples ended their lives here on earth. Paul beheaded, Peter crucified upside down at his request, both killed by Roman Emperor Nero. Andrew crucified in what is now Russia. Thomas martyred in India. Matthias martyred in Syria. Simon went to Persia, refused to sacrifice to their sun god there, and so he was killed for that. Philip went to Asia Minor and converted the wife of a Roman proconsul, and as a reward, the proconsul sentenced Philip to death. That's the rest of the story. You don't look any more enthusiastic than before. But should we expect anything different? I mean, should we expect the Holy Spirit to give us comfort and rest? Or should we expect the Holy Spirit to give us challenges and opportunities that are significant and beneficial to the kingdom? And probably costly. Very costly. Martin Luther looked at the marks of the church, the marks that show that the church is there and present, typically known as preaching the gospel in truth and purity and administering the sacraments according to it. And he added just one word to the marks of the church: struggle. Struggle. And he reasoned this: if you are about the work of the gospel, expect the resistance of the devil. Expect the resistance of the world. Expect the resistance of your own sinful flesh. But as we see today in our story from Acts chapter 2, that resistance comes with the promise of the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's just that maybe some of us, me included, need to look differently at how the Holy Spirit works in the world and in our lives. So here are some of the things that the Holy Spirit does. Maybe some of the things that we expect and how it's different from what we expect. He doesn't solve our problems as much as we would like that, but he invites us to see possibilities in those problems that we would not see otherwise. As an example, I think of one of our members who was hospitalized for a serious condition. And he said, "This is an opportunity for me to share the gospel, to share the love of Christ with people I never would have met otherwise." I was blown away at his faith and the ability to see past this problem to the possibilities that the Holy Spirit opened up for him in that place. The Holy Spirit doesn't promise safety, but instead promises God's presence in the struggle. He usually doesn't remove us from the turbulent world. In fact, He usually doesn't calm that turbulence, but he enables us to keep our footing as the world is shaking around us. And rather than remove our fear, the Holy Spirit grants us courage in the face of that fear to move forward. And what is courage? Well, a man named Ambrose Redmoon said this: courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the judgment, the discernment that something else is more important than that fear. And given that this is Pentecost Sunday and I have license in the pulpit, I've decided to change that quote a little bit to kind of line up with what we're talking about today. So here's how I've changed it. Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the gift of something to accomplish, which is more important than fear, and the presence of the Holy Spirit to strengthen us for the task. Courage is not the absence of fear, but it's being given something important to do. And what is more important than to share the love of Christ and the gospel? The good news that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for our sins and for everyone's sins. That he rose again to conquer death for us and for everyone in the world, as he proved that death is now defeated. We know that's important. I think we forget sometimes. I know I do in the midst of life's mountains that we're climbing, the hills and the valleys that we go through. And I think also we want something simpler, maybe easier to deal with. And so we work and we plan and we pray and we do our best. But I think the end goal sometimes is to sidestep some of the challenges and to maybe overcome a few of them as well, climb those mountains with the hope that we'll have smooth sailing for a while, that there will be some peace in our lives. But it seems the Holy Spirit does not often offer us smooth sailing. He very often brings struggle and hardship, always for the sake of the kingdom of God. I think of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who recognized the evil of Adolf Hitler as early as 1933 and talked openly about it and became identified very quickly as an enemy of the Nazi regime. And at one point in his history, he could have stayed in the United States and safety, but he chose instead to go back to Germany to suffer and to struggle with all those in his church who believed as he did about the Nazi regime. And so his faithfulness to Christ and his mission led to his execution in the Flossenbürg prison on April 9th, 1945, just 2 weeks before U.S. soldiers liberated the prisoners in that prison. Sometimes faithfulness to the Holy Spirit's calling just leads to struggle. And I hope and pray that none of us ever has to stand up to the kind of evil that Bonhoeffer did. But each of us, every day, are called to take a stand against Satan, to take a stand against the evil that he fosters and promotes in the world around us. And for that, we call upon the Holy Spirit to embolden us and strengthen us for that battle. And so, in our life of mountains beyond mountains, as we labor in the mission fields that are all around us, where we play, where we work, where we live, we'll have the chance to share God's love with those people around us. And it may mean meeting needs, physical, emotional, spiritual needs, and those are all mountains that we're going to have to climb. And there'll be questions that perhaps we can't answer at first. Those are mountains that we'll have to climb as well. And there'll be doubts and cynicism, and perhaps bad experiences with other churches that we have to climb, mountains beyond mountains. And inviting them to church, and it takes 50 times before they actually come through the door. Another mountain that we're climbing as we share God's love and his invitation to come and hear more of his word. These are mountains of effort and persistence and often discouragement. And on our own, trying to climb those again and again, that's an impossible task. But here's what the Holy Spirit does for us today, just as he did for the disciples on the first Pentecost. As we sit defeated, perhaps having rolled down a mountain and landing at its base, and we're overwhelmed and we're exhausted and we're dejected, the Holy Spirit opens the eyes of our heart to see new possibilities in the situation that we're in, when only problems exist for those outside the faith. He grants us strength and energy to get up and dust ourselves off and begin that climb again. And before we're even done, has already opened our mind to the possibility of the next mountain and the next, helping us to see that with him, nothing is impossible, that with him, we can do this. And he gives us confidence and joy in this life, even in the midst of our struggles and our climbing, to do that kingdom work, to be bringers of the kingdom, to share God's love, to see the Spirit at work, and perhaps by his grace, by his generosity, to see a soul saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And there's the happy ending. There's the final mountain that we have to climb. Visiting again verse 21 from our text today, as Peter says, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Jesus has overcome the world. He has climbed that highest mountain, that mountain of sin and death, and he has done so at great cost. He's done this for us. He's done this for us so that our eternity in his presence is a given. It's a fact. It's going to happen. And so the disciples did not have an unhappy ending, but rather they now dwell in the presence of God in his glory forever. Bonhoeffer and all of his church members who stood up and stayed faithful to the Holy Spirit's calling, they dwell in the presence of God now, because of the faith God gave them in Jesus Christ. And all those who've gone ahead of us, all those whose struggles are finally over, whose mountains are finally climbed, they are there waiting for us. So when our time of climbing is over, we shall join them. So, but for now, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the mountains ahead of us show us that God is not done yet, and that the Spirit of God is alive and well and working among us and in us and through us. And so we celebrate that glorious truth today, even as we rededicate ourselves by God's grace to the work at hand, as we are called to gather and to nurture and to serve because Jesus loves. In his name, amen.